wonder if you ever wonder about your lot in life, the place where you are. People often wonder about this, and if we get right down to it, we think, what is God's plan? What is God doing? In Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, the main character, thinks about this, and he sort of sings a song which is a prayer, and he sings about, if I were a rich man. And he thinks, from his perspective, that would be much, much better. And yet, Tevye was not a rich man. But he asks this of God. He says, would it spoil some vast, eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? And he gets to that big perspective where he's thinking, God has these vast, eternal plans. And we are here in this world, and we all have our lot in life. And very often we wonder, is it the way it ought to be? And I wish I could have maybe a little more perspective. I wish I could know just a little bit more about who's who and why things are the way they are. If in fact God has a vast, eternal plan. We look at someone like John the Baptist, who the scripture calls a prophet. And we look at him and we might think, you know, John certainly knew that he had a certain role, a particular lot in life. He was called to be a prophet. In fact, God called him while he was still in his mother's womb. And before that, God had a plan for this man to be a prophet for God. In our passage today, we're going to look at John the Baptist and his testimony on a day when Jesus came to him. God would speak to his prophets, and this was true of John. This was a day in the life of John the Baptist when Jesus came to him, and Jesus had come to him at other times. They were, in fact, relatives. John was a prophet, and in these days he spent his time in the wilderness. Out where it's very dry, he would stay in a little village near the Jordan River where almost no one lived. Almost no one was there, but people would come to him. This was a place that was dry and rocky. It was the Judean wilderness by the Jordan River. And when he was there, God gave him a job to do. He preached there. He baptized people there in order to repent from their sins. And he was preaching about the kingdom of God that was coming. And he knew this was his job from God. This was his lot in life. And he was a lion of a prophet. When the Pharisees came out to him, he didn't welcome them or change his message at all. He was a strong and bold prophet. But on this day, on this specific day, John spoke something that God revealed to him about Jesus. Something God told John back on the day when John baptized Jesus. So we get a little bit of a glimpse of how God showed his plan through this prophet to the people and to us. Now, to understand what's happening on this day where John, the Apostle John, calls it the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, we have to go back to that day when he was baptized to understand what was happening then. I'm going to read a bit of from the section of this account from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll be reading it for you. You can if you like. It says this: in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And after this, the scriptures say that Jesus was pushed out into that wilderness, farther away, by the Spirit of God, to be tempted by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat any food, and he was tempted by the devil. And this happens. And so sometime after that, it might have been shortly after that, Jesus comes back to this place where John is, where the prophet of God, who is out there preaching the kingdom and baptizing people in a repentance kind of a baptism. And now, what our scripture says is, John saw Jesus coming toward him. John saw Jesus coming toward him. And so he looks and he comes to John again. And John says something shocking. John says, now what? John is a prophet and God has been speaking to him. And all of these people are here and all of this area of the world, they're focused on John. And they're wondering, who is this? He's very bold. He speaks for God. And they're speculating, is he a prophet? And we see that in the passage before this. Is he a prophet? Is he Elijah? Maybe he's the Messiah. And John says, no. I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. You see, from my perspective, it seems like John was making sense of who he was. Later, Jesus says, this was Elijah who was to come. This is a prophet that you went out there to see. John didn't know all this, though. But John knew somehow, I think because when God called him, probably God said something to him and said, you are this voice. You're preparing the way. Now go and preach this. Well, we don't know the specifics of it, but John didn't have the full picture. But he says something on this day when Jesus comes to him, because God made it known to him. He says, look, or behold. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he points to Jesus. John was commanding the crowd to turn their attention, which was focused on John and his message. John was commanding the crowd to turn their attention to Jesus, whom he calls the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, for John to use this language, all the people would know certainly what a lamb means to God's people. It's a very familiar concept. A lamb is a substitute for a person's sin, to pay for that sin. The Lamb, John says, takes away the sin of the world. So in the mind of a person then, in that wilderness of Judea, by the Jordan River, people would think of things like the Passover lamb and how the sacrifice of a lamb was put when God's people were slaves in Egypt, when they put that on their doorposts, and that by sacrificing that lamb, God's people would be safe from death under the blood of that lamb. And according to the law, at the temple, a lamb would be sacrificed twice every day for the people's sins. It was a substitute to pay for people's sins. A lamb, 1 year old. Abraham, in that same region, Abraham took Isaac, not the region where John was, but in the area of Jerusalem, on a mountain called Moriah back then, before Jerusalem was built there. Abraham took his son Isaac to Moriah. And you know how God calls him, he tells him, I want you to sacrifice your son. And so they go, and Isaac is there. And Abraham is going, and they leave the servants, and they start walking up this mountain called Moriah. And you get this picture in Scripture that Isaac is carrying all this wood, or maybe it's on his back, and he's carrying some kind of fire in some kind of a jar or something. And he says, Dad, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for a sacrifice? And as your heart is racing, as you're reading this narrative of Abraham who's told to sacrifice his son, Abraham says something that is profound. He says to his son Isaac, God himself will provide a lamb. And for us, that could be the message of all that God was doing. He was looking forward, previewing what he was about to do in the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And so all that was leading up to was this lamb. Now, the word for lamb that's used here in John's gospel refers to a lamb that was 1 year old for a sacrifice, specifically used for sacrifice. John kept preaching this message of this lamb because the next day Jesus comes again and John is saying the same thing. And he says down in verse 36, look, he says it again. Look, that's the Lamb of God. And so he keeps saying this. When the spotlight was on John the Baptist, God told him something and he pointed to Jesus. Jesus was not that well known at this point. Everyone was focused on John the Baptist. Now, John says something really interesting for us here. In verse 31, he says, I myself did not know him. Now, that is fascinating. Because he is a relative of Jesus. When he was being baptized, Jesus came to him and John said, John was calling people out for their sin. He was saying to the Pharisee, you're a brood of vipers. You're this mangled up, tiny viper brood. That's what you are. And he says, God is going to judge you. But when Jesus came to him, John is like, whoa, 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 I can't do my normal thing. And he says to Jesus, you want me to baptize you? I should be baptized by you. And so he looks at me and he baptizes him because Jesus tells him to. But he says here in verse 31, I myself did not know him. Well, in what way did he not know him? We'll see. John didn't know everything about Jesus, but what he did know, he told. That's important. He pointed people to Jesus. And it's very interesting. Actually, twice in this passage, on this day, John says, I myself did not know him. And it says that John was giving his testimony. He was witnessing. He was pointing people to Jesus. Now, here's something where we can pause and we can go from that wilderness in Judea, that dry, hot, rocky place by the Jordan River, and we can come to where we are living right now in Chester County in Pennsylvania. And brothers and sisters, here's an application for us. You don't need to know all the answers to every question that is out there if you want to point someone to Jesus. What you know is enough to point people to the one who takes away sin. Now, last week we were remembering the resurrection, and we really focus on that around Easter, how it really comes down to this fact, this truth, that Jesus died and was raised again. And if he did, 1 Corinthians 15, if he did, then it makes all the difference to us for all eternity. If he didn't, we're all wasting our time. So it comes down to this one thing, and we try to focus our attention on that. And that's something that we can do over and over again throughout the year. What you need to know is this about who he is. You just need to know the very basics of Jesus. Why? Well, the reason is because our biggest problem is our sin. And that's true of every person. And our sin is what separates us from God. And that's true of every person, whether each individual we interact with knows it or not. That is our biggest problem, our sin. And we need to have a lamb to take away our sins. Now, let me give an illustration here. Imagine you're walking on the path out here. There's construction up. Imagine you're out here on Park and you're walking on this walking path and a young couple comes up to you with a baby stroller. And you realize quickly that they desperately need diapers. OK. vivid now, right? Evoking memories. They desperately need diapers, and you know it too, and it's obvious now all of a sudden. So this young couple is looking for diapers, and you say, yeah, there's a store right over there, and you can buy your diapers right there. And they pause, and they look at you, and the wife says, no, I've heard that sometimes there's strange people in that store, or stores like that. And she says, are there strange people in that store? And you say, well, maybe. And, well, what do you consider strange? And before that gets anywhere, the husband says, wait a second. What will it cost me if we buy diapers in that store? And before you can answer that, the wife chimes in again. And she says, if I go to that store, will my friends think I'm a weirdo? I don't want my friends to think I'm a weirdo. And you say, could be. I don't know. And while you're on this rabbit trail, all of a sudden the breeze shifts. And you're all vividly reminded that there's a baby that needs a diaper. And as you remember this issue, you say, look, let's get right down to the heart of this. You need diapers. Why don't you go to that store and buy diapers? Here's the point. People have more than a messy diaper. People everywhere have the mess of sin. And you know the answer that they need. You know the Lamb who takes away sin. And this is the heart of what they need to know. This is what John the Baptist pointed to when he pointed to Jesus. I had breakfast with a friend earlier this week, and we were the first ones in the restaurant and in this diner, and the waiter was talking to me, and he said, before my friend came, he said, did you have a good Easter? And I said, I did have a good Easter. I got to preach on Easter. And he said, you're a preacher? I said, yeah, I'm a preacher. And he said, I'm sorry to hear that. And I really enjoyed the interaction with this guy. So by the time my friend showed up at the diner, he was on a roll. And he was telling me all kinds of his theories about God and about things that are happening in the world and conspiracies. And it was interesting. And it was good. Now, my friend and I started talking to this young man. And as we were talking, he was asking us questions. In fact, I think he came over to give us refills and things just so he could ask another question and another question. Which was great, which I love that, and my friend did too. What happened then was we had to keep coming back to this main issue, because he was coming up with all of these theories that were really rabbit trails. And he would come back and he would say, I don't remember what point in the conversation, but he revealed his theory that the Pope is amassing a secret army around the world to have another worldwide crusade. And I said, But what we did was we said, look, it comes down to Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Do you believe that he died and he rose again? If he did, then he is who he says he is. If he didn't, then go on with your Da Vinci Code theories and all of this stuff. So he had his other things that he wanted to speculate. He speculated about the Day of Judgment and other religions around the world. And we kept coming back to this one point. You need to think about who Jesus is and examine this. If you want to study one thing, focus your attention on this. And my friend gave him a title of a book called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. He wrote it down on a little piece of paper and he said, here, this is what you got to read. You got to read this. And we really liked this guy and we had good interactions with him. And the point was this, just like the couple in my illustration on Park, when we talk to people, and we are witnessing to them, like John the Baptist was witnessing, pointing to Christ, people will very often get off on these rabbit trails. It happened with Jesus. People came to Jesus and they would ask him these speculative questions, these rabbit trails, and he would get back to the main issue. When we are witnessing, we are always pointing people to the Lamb of God who takes away sin. And that's the heart of the matter. Don't let all of these other distractions get in the way. We have to just keep saying to people, look at Jesus. Look at him. John the Baptist gives us an example of that, and that's a good example for us to follow. tell people to look at Jesus. Keep it focused on him. If you are here this morning and you're in a position where you are not sure what to make of Jesus or of Christianity, then I want to ask you to do this. In light of what we're looking at here, consider the things that I'm going to say, because I'm going to explain a little bit more about what it means to look to Jesus and who he is because of what John says here. And I want you to think through these things, that this Jesus of Nazareth, this historical person who died on a Roman cross, and it is claimed in the Bible that he rose again. Consider that he is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. If in fact he is, it changes everything. And if in fact he is, then why should he not take away your sin? What he tells you to do is to turn to him, to focus on him. You can have your sin removed by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because of him, there is nothing that needs to separate you from God. In our passage, back to our passage, John the Baptist says this. He says, I myself did not know him. Okay, here's a prophet to whom God spoke, and God gave him a message to speak to people. And John says this. He says, I came baptizing with water, and he came for a purpose. I came baptizing with water so that he would be revealed to Israel. And at Jesus' baptism, John says, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him. He says it again. There's the second time when he's talking about that day. He says, I myself did not know him. So what are we to take from this? John didn't have all the answers. He didn't know all the who's who of what was going on around him. He knew what God told him to do and what he was supposed to do. And he walked step by step with that. And we'll see that more as the gospel unfolds. He explains what happened to him on that day, the day of Jesus' baptism. And this is what he says. He says, John bore witness, verse 32. I saw. Now, that word is a vivid word, and it means to look intently at something. It's when you're staring at something, saying, I'm really going to pay attention to this. So he says, I was looking intently. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven like a dove and remain on him. I myself did not know him. And John is saying that this was happening. And then he says this, but look at our passage. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me. So you get this picture. John is giving us a testimony of his experience while he was there baptizing him. And he's saying that God spoke to me. I was looking intently at Jesus, and I saw this thing like a dove come down. It was the Spirit of God. It rested on Jesus, and it remained on him. He who sent me to baptize, he knew the voice, and the voice spoke to him. God spoke to John. He was a prophet. God spoke to his prophet. And what did he say? And he's talking about that day of the baptism, and he says, God spoke to John, and he said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's the special one. That's the one that really matters. And he gives him this phrase that he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So John, who is carrying out his role as a prophet, is then thrust back into figuring out these things. At the end of our passage, John says this. After he speaks these words, he's flashing back and he's speaking in the first person about what was happening when he saw it, when it happened. Then in verse 34, it says this. And John says, and I have seen and I have borne witness. This is the perfect tense now. Now he's present day again. And he's saying, not talking about what happened back on the baptism, but what's happening this day when Jesus comes back. And he says, I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And he's pointing to Jesus. And the last thing that he said was what God revealed to him there, that this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world will do something that no one else could do, that John, by contrast, was just preparing the way for the real thing to happen. And that is that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? I think he's talking about different things that were common in the Old Testament, but the prophet Ezekiel talks about this, and he talks about being washed in this way. The word baptize, the Greek word baptize, means to submerge. It means to dunk. And we're not here to fight about, you know, why we do it right and other people do it wrong. The idea for baptism is when you dunk something, when you submerge it. And what he's saying here is that that one will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some people in charismatic circles will say that, well, you can be a Christian, but you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And only when you start, you know, speaking gibberish, speaking in tongues, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not what it is. Okay. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit of God coming into your life, joining you to God by faith, and putting you in union with God. And it is a way in which you are enveloped by the life of God, and you are changed from the inside out. This baptism is the Spirit of God dwelling inside of a person. It's what makes any person a Christian, a true believer. It is a union like marriage. And what happens with this is that God changes us. And what happens is that a person who is baptized by the Holy Spirit is changed. That's what makes a person a Christian. Who is baptized then with the Holy Spirit? Every single person who believes in Christ. Every person who has been changed and who has faith and trusts in Him. It's something that is outside of us that God does. A couple of examples in Romans 6, talking about baptism, and in 1 Corinthians 12, also talking about the illustration, what baptism is, representing something else. In Romans 6, he refers to all of us who've been baptized, have been baptized into his death. And in 1 Corinthians 12, the apostle says, in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And so what does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? It means to be joined to Christ. And who is included in that? Every single person who is a believer. And so what we do when we properly observe baptism is we are doing what God commands us to do. That is an illustration, an outward sign of what God has done in a person already when he has baptized them by his Holy Spirit. Now, what happens with this baptism? What happens is this. God changes our standing before him. Okay, he changes us, like the passage that we heard from Charlotte. And that's a good looking Bible. I got to see her Bible. And you want to know a person's character? Look at their Bible. She reads her Bible and she studies it, because I can see the markings. I can see it's starting to wear out. And it's only three, 4 years old. Anyway, I don't want to put the spotlight too much on you. What happens is this. You will get a hunger for God's word. He changes us from the inside out. But first he marks us. He claims us as his own redeemed people. You see, that is a strong theme in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, the Lamb of God is the one who is glorified, and he is Christ. And you know what? In that, the people of God are marked as belonging to this Lamb. They receive his mark. And God marks us because of his Holy Spirit as his redeemed people. And when he does that, he removes from us the penalty of sin. He says, this person will not be under my wrath any longer, starting now. But he does something else. He causes his own life to work inside of us. He causes the life of God to change us from the inside out. To start reading our Bibles, to have a hunger for this, to be praying people, to be joined with other believers. And he gives us a new heart and an understanding of what is true that is completely different. It's God's power that changes us, and it happens from the inside out. And he gives us a new heart that desires his ways. So we are being changed and molded because of God's life within us. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God that brings us from a dominion of darkness, like it says in Colossians, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. John, in our passage, is telling us about how God let him see the Spirit descend. And he spoke to him at that point, telling him that Jesus is the one who does this. That one who was baptized by him and then went into the wilderness and was tempted. And he came back. That is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, who can bring about the change in a person's life that brings them into the kingdom of God. You see, God promised before all of this happened through the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36. And he's talking about baptism and he's talking about washing them clean from their sins. And this is what God says. God says, I will cleanse you. And he's talking about this day with this new covenant. And he says, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove from you the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. This is true of every believer. This is true of everyone who calls on the name of Christ. You know, in our bulletin, one of the things that Pastor Chaya was pointing us to is the Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit, this conference. My wife and I are signed up to go. The second half of that, there's the Spirit of the Age, what the Bible says about the way that culture is from a biblical perspective. But then the other aspect of it is the Age of the Spirit. And I'm looking forward to hearing what they're going to say about this. So I would invite you to consider going to this conference with us. It's a Friday and a Saturday. To hear about the Age of the Spirit, where God is advancing his kingdom. And Jesus is doing this, what we're reading about here, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, where people are being brought into his kingdom. And his message is more powerful because it is light, not being overcome by any darkness. And this message keeps going out. And this Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, is baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, enveloping them, bringing them into this life that is union with God. So John didn't know all of the details of God's vast eternal plan, and neither do any of us. But we get glimpses of it because God is revealing it to us. John knew what God did reveal to him. John was a zealous prophet. He was doing what God told him to do. Yet he only knew part of the picture. He was learning who Jesus is as he was going along. God doesn't tell us everything as much as we might want to know when we think about our lot in life, when we think about his purposes of when we see suffering, of when we feel lack, of when we know that there are things in the world that they just don't make sense to us. But he reveals what we need to know. God was revealing Jesus to John while he was using John to reveal him to the world through that experience in the Judean wilderness. And friends, for us, when we think about our lot in life, we don't have to know all the answers. God knows. God has a vast eternal plan. God has revealed what is most important for us to know. And the most important thing to which he points us is this person who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. His plan is best. And so don't be like Tevye and tell him, wouldn't it be so much better if you could just make me wealthy or healthy or if you could change this thing? Sometimes we have to say, Lord, your will be done, and I don't get it. But God's plan is best, and it's better than we could do. And we can rest in that. So John ends this part of this testimony, and he says, I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And friends, we can be used in the very same way. We don't need all the answers. We don't have all the answers. But we know enough to point people to the one who does. And we can point people to the solution to the deepest problem of every human being. Like John, he said, I've done my job as a prophet. This is what God wants me to say, and I've given you my testimony of it. In other words, God's told me to say this. I'm saying it now. Now it's out there. We could rest in the same knowledge of when we have an opportunity to bear witness for Christ with our friends, with our family, to say, this is what I know is true. Or even just point them to the scriptures and say, I believe God's answers for all of these things are in the scriptures. And what we need to know are there. So that day in the Judean wilderness was a day in the life of John the Baptist. In that dry Middle Eastern desert, when Jesus came to him, he told what he knew of Jesus to those who were around him. We should follow that example. And what we have there is a pattern that we can follow, pointing people. When the spotlight is ever on us, we can say, look at the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. We keep looking to him, like it says in the inside of our bulletin, that quote by Tozer. But we keep looking to Jesus, and we need to keep telling people what we know, the basic truth of who he is. He is the Lamb of God who can take away your sin. Let's pray together.